Welcome to the Rooster's Nest. I am your host. I am the Rooster. Along with my co-host Merlin, each week we bring you topics on relationships, careers, current events, and so much more. Join us each week as we journey through this thing we call life. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome back to the show. Hello, my beautiful bride, Merlin. How are you today?
I am recovering from a headache. Ugh. But I'm here and feeling fabulous.
You're fabulous!
Fabulous!
Fabulous! She's fabulous. Over there, feeling fabulous. So, how was your Christmas?
Christmas was quite enjoyable. We talked about that already.
Well, we haven't talked with our friends here.
I thought we did.
Well, we talked to them before Christmas. Oh, we didn't talk to them after Christmas.
This is true.
So this is the first. So, all right. Well, welcome to the show, everybody. Apparently, we've had a couple of days off, and we don't know what the fuck we're doing. So, yeah, welcome back. This is the first show after the first of the year. So welcome to 2024.
Baxter just said hello if you didn't hear him.
Yeah, that guy. He cracks me up.
So Christmas, we had a really chill Christmas this year. And I know we were leading up to that and expected a chill Christmas. But it really turned out better than I could have even imagined. So I'm not sure if we mentioned this, but we ordered in a carryout dinner.
We did not. Because we at the time we recorded the last show, we had no idea. We had an idea, but we didn't know exactly what we were going
to
do.
That's true. So, thank you to social media. I saw a post about a business in Spokane that was offering a carryout dinner. It was a prime rib carryout dinner.
Yummy.
I had never heard of this place before, but I decided to take a gander and just see what happened. So, that way we didn't have to worry about cooking. So I did. It turned out fabulous. The food was great. The portions were great. The service was great. I have no complaints, and I highly recommend the Prohibition Gastropub in Spokane.
And they're located, I believe, up on the north side, like north central, kind of like Monroe-ish?
Yeah, I was going to say they were off of Monroe.
Monroe and Garland, I think.
Yeah, and I left them great reviews, which I don't normally review. Ah, there's Baxter. He's just letting everybody know that he's here. I don't normally leave reviews, but I left them a couple of really great reviews because they're actually a small business. I didn't realize, I've never been there before. Like I said, this was the first time for us.
Yeah, they're located at 1914 North Monroe in Spokane, and huge shout out to them. They, great dinner. The prime rib was cooked perfectly. There was sweet potato something souffle, and there was some beans. Wasn't it bean? We got green beans. And there were some rolls, and there were some dips that they sent, like some au jus sauce and some other stuff that was very good.
I added in their jalapeno poppers. Our family loves all things jalapeno poppers.
And oh my God, those were so amazing.
Well, and see, when I got onto their page, all of the reviews that people had left was about how amazing their jalapeno poppers were. So we did get an order of those. They were a little on the spicier side for those folks who don't like spice, but they certainly did not disappoint. Yeah. And the packaging, you know, everything was packaged up perfectly. And there was no spills. They had warming directions. Mm-hmm. It was really great.
Yeah, those poppers, they had a little kick to them. And anyone that knows me more than about 5 minutes knows that I don't really do a whole lot of kick or punch with my food. I don't like them, like my food very spicy. But yeah, this shit, it was good. It had the right amount of kick that it just gave it flavor. It wasn't obnoxious where it like burnt your tongue or anything like that.
Now, their horseradish, on the other hand, did.
Now, that was a little bit different story. So that horseradish, yeah, that was a little on the spicy side. I'm not usually a big fan of that, but I tried it. And Yeah, that was some pretty spicy shit.
Everything just had really good flavor. So we'll add a picture of that. I took a picture of the dinner table once we had everything plated.
Oh, you did?
I did, yeah.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, so that'll go on Instagram. We'll throw that out there. And before we get too much further into this, ways that you can reach out to us if you like, and ways that you can support the show, you can find us, you can email us, rather, at theroostersnestpodcast@gmail.com. Or you can also catch us on Patreon at patreon.com/theroostersnestpodcast. You can also get us on Instagram at roostersnest. It's all one word, _208. And that's our Instagram there. We'll post random shit from time to time. Some of it pertains to the show. Some of it may not. But anyway, that's one way that you can connect with us. Am I missing anything? I think I got them all, right?
Yeah, you got them all. And just remember, the biggest compliment we can get is when you share our podcast.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And don't forget, like and subscribe. Yes. On whatever platform you catch us on, because we're now on Spotify, iHeartRadio. I think the only two really that we're not on currently is Apple Podcasts and I think that Amazon Podcasts, but we're working on that. And I don't understand why Junior is over here whining so much, but
I think he wants his own microphone.
Yeah, we might have to get him one.
Buddy, you're fine.
I don't think he knows what's going on, because he's like, you guys are talking to each other, or you're talking to these things that are glowing, and I don't know what the fuck you're doing.
That, and, you know, he had a really rough New Year, and maybe we can kind of jump.
Yeah, he's still kind of coming down off the, well, I think he's recovered from the drug overdose, but.
Yeah.
He got dosed pretty heavily with Benadryl and some prescription meds that the doctor given us to help calm him down.
Yeah, so a little backstory on Mr. Berkey Baxter. We found Baxter when we lived up in Sandpoint, and he was about 4 months old, I would say. He still had his puppy teeth.
Mm-hmm.
And so he pretty much had foraged and lived off the land. I think he might have hung around with a pack of feral cats because he kind of holds himself in.
He acts like a damn cat.
He does. Like right now, he's running around. The Russ is scratching his butt, and he keeps running around like a cat. It's really weird. But anyhow, he has a lot of anxiety, and the first time we took him to the vet, they said we've got to dose him just so we can do a proper examination. And so
we're playing. Go lay down, dude.
So
go lay down. We're not playing right now.
They had prescribed trazodone, and then we also discovered along the way that fireworks are quite terrifying to him. And he's not scared like he goes and hides in a blanket or anything like that. That would be much easier.
Oh, no. He wants to go after whoever's lighting them off and rip them to pieces, even though he can't see typically where they're coming from. Because, you know, we had fireworks going off a mile down the road, and you would just hear the faintest little poof. And he would just go ape shit.
Yeah, he gets the hackles up, and he starts barking like ridiculous, continuous barking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
You know, here in North Idaho, where fireworks are legal, everybody decides that they're going to celebrate for, you know, a week long. And so a week long, they go and they're lighting off fireworks. And so for New Year's, we knew it was going to be a big thing. And I only had 3 trazodone left. He has a pretty high metabolism. So I gave him 4 doses of Benadryl, 3 trazodones, and he's been kind of hungover,
mm-hmm.
So I think he's back to his normal self now.
Well, I think it's all kind of wore off, and he's probably, like, shaking it off, going like, dude, come on, man, let's go do something. Let's go play. Let's go to the park. Maybe that's what I should have done today with him.
You shouldn't have said that word out loud.
Yeah. Well, now he's got that look on his face like, oh, really?
He's locked in.
What are we doing now?
He's locked in on the target.
He's got that look on his face like, all right, let's do it.
Yeah.
Let's do it. But no, anyway, so now they know how to get in touch with us.
Yep.
I was actually in the process of checking the email, but distracted by him over here doing his thing.
So we went over the Prohibition Gastropub in Spokane has excellent food, well known for their jalapeno poppers. And we were introduced to them with that carryout dinner, which was super delicious. And, you know, it was really, I think for us, it was really relaxing because we just didn't have any cooking, any cleanup. And to be perfectly honest with you, the cost was actually cheaper than I think if we went and bought the food.
Cleanup was super easy. Like, fold it all up, put it in the garbage. It was great.
Yeah, like I said, the portions were perfect.
The only dishes that we had to do were the ones that we dirtied when we put, you know, just like, what, three plates and a couple of cups.
Yeah, and some silverware. I think
that was the gist of it, yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
So that was fantastic. But anyway, I checked the old mailbag there. There's no nothing in the mailbag. So anyway, if you're listening and you want to shoot us an email, I would say do it. Send us an email. We check the check it pretty regularly. You can send a message on Instagram, too, if you want. Whether you want to talk to me, you want to talk to Merlin over there. Either way is cool. We love to get feedback. We've gotten some feedback in person and over the phone from some folks that are close to us. But we'd love to hear from you. So, and we'd love to hear from where you're listening to us at. So we noticed that we had a listener in Tokyo, Japan, the last episode we put out. I thought that was kind of cool.
That was really cool.
But I think we might have deduced who that might be. It might actually be somebody that we know. So, maybe. Maybe not. I don't know. Maybe the Japanese are expanding their horizons. They say, oh, Rooster! We want to listen to the Rooster! But anyway, I digress.
So, the new year was pretty uneventful for us. As I said, I was taking care of Mr. Barky Baxter. And Rooster had to work. And we stayed awake to kiss each other for the new year and went to bed.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That was pretty much it. Well, I had to get up and go to work the next day. That was a mess, too. Had to show up for work a little bit later than normal and totally screwed up my entire sleep pattern. Because I think I would have been fine, like, getting up at the normal time that I get up to go to work. But on New Year's Day, instead of going to work at 6 a.m., which I normally do, I didn't have to be there until 8 a.m. So, you know, normally I'll leave about a half an hour to 45 minutes before I have to be on shift. And, yeah, New Year's Day, I rolled out of bed 30 minutes before I had to be on shift. So I had one of those oh shit moments where it's like, oh my God, I got to get up. I got to throw my clothes really quick. I got to haul ass. I got to get out of here and hopefully make it on time, you know. But I did. I made it on time. I had like about 2 minutes to spare maybe. And the good fortune about my current job, which it's hard for me to call it a job, but my current job, I can't even clock in until like the top of the hour. So if it says my shift starts at 6 a.m., I can't clock in until the clock on my phone turns 6 a.m. So whether, you know, like some clocks, they'll let you clock in 5 minutes ahead or 10 minutes ahead or whatever. Nah, man, these guys, it's like, boom, it's 6 o'clock, you can punch in, yeah. But not before. So that works out to my favor sometimes because I'll pull in. I'll usually get there a couple minutes ahead of time and kind of run the clock out, clock in, and then go in and do my thing.
So we're here today just to bring in 2024 nice and fresh.
Yeah.
I spent yesterday cleaning, deep cleaning, trying to get rid of all that stagnant energy and bring in new, fresh energy.
Right. Yep. Nope. And it was a nice thing to come home to. And I don't know what he's trying to do here. What are you doing? What are you doing?
He wants attention.
Say hi? Do you want to say hi to everybody?
Baxter also gets jealous when Russ and I spend quality time together. Like when we watch TV on the couch, he has to squeeze in between us.
Well, not only that, he has to push us apart. So like if we're sitting relatively close, he has to not only sit between us, but yeah, he has to spread himself out to the point where he's pushing us away from each other, which is super funny to me. But yeah, you see this? He's trying
He's pawing at the Rooster right now, wanting to play. Well, I think he's just got a lot of energy built up after all that scary stuff.
Mm-hmm. Everyone always goes into the new year with new hopes and dreams and thoughts and self-improvement. And do you have any New Year's resolutions for this year?
I don't have any resolutions. I've kind of given up on resolutions per se, but I am trying to, and you know this, work on minimalizing or at least clearing things a bit. And that's been a bit of a challenge. I realize that I still have emotional attachment to certain things, and I'm trying to work through that.
Sure. No, I totally get that, because I got boxes full of shit out in my garage that
you refuse to help me with.
Well, I think we've probably moved them half a dozen times, and they're still there and still closed and haven't been in them for probably 5 to 10 years, maybe.
We've made progress.
Sure. Sure.
We've definitely made progress, and we have lots of room to continue and grow.
Oh, of course. Yeah. No, I stopped doing New Year's resolutions a really long time ago. A really, really long time ago. No, I've taken a path of just trying to continue to do better, you know, improve on myself and improve on the people around me. And, you know, with our business venture, you know, just looking at new opportunities for that and just trying to find ways to grow that are, I don't know, maybe outside of the box. You know, we were looking at some things the other day, you know, like for those of you who don't know, we are the owners of Ram Group LLC. Ram Group consists of multiple layers, if you will. Think of it as an onion. We've got a bounty hunting arm where we do fugitive recovery. We do process serving, which is the delivery of court documents, and some private investigation, some security work, depending. And then we have a creative arm, which is photography, massage therapy. We do the aesthetics. Well, not we. Miss Merlin here does the aesthetics as a licensed esthetician and a licensed massage therapist. The other side of the creative house is the podcast, what you're listening to, that this falls under Ram Creative. And then we have a tactical training section that we call Ram Tech or Ram Tactical that does tactical training for security professionals, law enforcement, and those within that industry. Haven't started doing classes for the public as of yet, but security industry and law enforcement, kind of the umbrella. So as far as, you know, keeping things busy, and those adventures keep me very busy. You know, it's kind of nice to find some time to sit down and shoot the shit about what we like to do, you know, like kind of where we're at. So we've made some upgrades in the studio, and I think they've worked out pretty good so far.
I think so, too. And hopefully you're hearing that on your end as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sound quality should definitely be an improvement. Moving from one section of the podcast to another. I don't know, I've entertained looking at doing a like a internet radio show. Mm-hmm. Been kind of looking into that, see how feasible that might be. Yeah, maybe, maybe not. I don't know. Oh, yeah, that property management.
Yeah, so right? we're like any good entrepreneur, we're looking at areas where there's a niche and that we can fulfill. We obviously want to make money, of course, but we also want to help people and meet a need. That's the ultimate goal,
I guess, or the bigger draw for us is the actual helping of people. The money will come. You know, we're taking care of people, other people within our circle and outside of our circle. But yeah, the concierge property management, that was something that came up not that long ago where we were talking with some friends of ours that own property within a HOA, and it's a relatively small homeowners association. But the problem that they're having, and this is kind of where the property management would come in, is the problem that they're having is the owners of the properties do not want to be involved with the board. And one person in particular that wants to be involved on the board is shady as fuck.
I was gonna say toxic. That's funny.
to put it, yeah. I mean, and I don't know. I'm at a point where I'm just kind of feeling a little blunt and a little real, you know. And she is. I mean, this woman is. She was the so-called quote unquote president for who knows how long, and then was ousted because of some malpractice, we'll say. But no, she has no business being dealing with anybody else's money. But so that's where the property management idea came from.
And the concierge side is that, you know, everything right now is mm-hmm. more expensive and they're on a budget too. So
sure.
concierge yeah. just bringing in catering the areas that they need the management, the property right. management, maybe not a just full service.
Focusing on those areas. Yeah. Not doing the full meal deal. Just, you know, like if they have issues with contractors or contract negotiations or, you know, making sure the maintenance is taken care of and that sort of thing. You know, we have a group of people that we know and work with that, you know, that could very easily facilitate what they need. And we could save them. I believe we could save them money while also making money ourselves. Which, I mean, that's capitalism, right?
So it wouldn't be our fashion if we didn't already get unfriended on Facebook going into the new year, right? we're just those people, I guess. So
it's a cleansing.
Yeah.
I think everybody goes through it. I think I do it once or twice a year where I'll go through and kind of, have I ever met this person on Facebook? Nope. I have no idea who the hell that is. Where'd you come from? Like, I got a friend request today from some random lady from like Wisconsin or something who claims that she won the lottery and wanted to give money, you know, like $10,000.
Oh, that's
you
a know, scam.
Just respond to my thing in my DMs and I'll send you $10,000. I'm like, yeah. Is this legit? No. And I actually, so I took this out. So I looked into it, right? I looked at her profile and I looked at her friends and I looked at, you know, her profile pictures. And on the surface, it seems legit. But then you start looking at her friends that are on her profile, all 22 of them. There's your sign.
Yeah.
You start realizing that none of them have benefited from this lady's, you know, financial windfall. Apparently she won the lottery or whatever. So I'm like, yep, nope. Delete. Thank you very much. Bye-bye. Yeah. So part of the time off has been learning this new piece of equipment that we have that you all get to enjoy with us. So
absolutely.
It's kind of fun. It's kind of fun.
So we've kind of established that we're not really doing New Year's resolutions. And I think mm-hmm. from everything I've read so far, that's kind of... That's old school. People aren't doing that. Yeah, it's just not happening anymore. But one of the goals that I have is to create new habits. So me personally, I've been part of a coaching group. I'm trying to do the hard work to improve my physical body health naturally without any weird supplements or drugs, without any surgeries. It's been challenging. It's not easy because it didn't happen overnight. So, you know, kind of a lifestyle change. So that's my goal. And the other one is to try to read a new book every month
or yeah.
listen to a new book every month.
No, definitely. That's definitely something I should probably look into as well. Reading. I just don't do enough of it. But
and we have tons of books in our
house. Well, I should take that back. I do a lot of reading, but it's not books. It's usually research or study material for, you know, the next thing that I'm going to dig into.
Well, we need to slightly be cautious with that. Everything, you know, online is not necessarily true. On top of that, the computer frequencies and the light, you know.
Oh, yeah, that blue light, man.
It's not all great for you. Not that we need to avoid it permanently, but just I think maybe taking a step back from it and going back to paper books would be good.
Yeah, most definitely.
So I did finish a book that I think truly applies. And excuse me, I found him by podcast. And it turns out that he's actually quite a popular author in the business community or like the community of self-improvement.
Mm-hmm.
So this book was called Think Again, and it's written by Adam Grant. And I believe he's a professor at like the Wharton University or something like that. Wow. Psychology. Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
And so I do recommend this book. I listened to it on Audible. It does have good reviews on it. And his whole perspective with this book is that if you think about life like scientists do, And rather than holding true to everything you absolutely believe, is to try to challenge your beliefs so that you can grow.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, sometimes you will see things from other people's perspectives too. You know, he really tries to stay out of politics. I mean, there's a few things in there that I could probably argue a little bit as far as being political, but he really does try to stay away from it. And one of the things that really stuck, there was two things, I can't remember the second one, but one of the things that I do remember, and I shared this with you,
mm-hmm.
is that he hates it when people, I shouldn't say hates, he dislikes it when people ask children, what do you want to be when you grow up?
Oh, yeah, we had a long conversation about that. I totally agree.
And the reason that he dislikes that is because, and I think this is true,
mm-hmm.
you don't have to be only one thing as an adult. And, right. and in fact, most people aren't only one thing as an adult. Look at mothers, for example.
Well, I mean, you go through, like, shit, you go through our lives, you know, yours and mine. I mean, how many, I can go back to when I first started working and look at how many jobs I've had since I first started working when I was 15 years old. We'll just say that was quite some time ago. Looking at it now, like, I have probably forgotten more jobs that I have worked at than I remember. You know what I mean? I've had so many jobs in my life that I couldn't tell you every single one of them. You know, anyone that stays with, you know, one or two or, you know, less than five jobs throughout their lifetime, my hat's off to them, because that would take a lot of willpower, I think, you know, like just dealing with some of the bad managers and poor conditions and other things. You know, as far as careers go, like mainstay careers, I've probably had four careers, right, that has spanned pretty much my lifetime, you know.
Well, and, you know, going back to the early days, there's a point that he makes that really...
Well, now, early days, are you talking like pre...
I'm talking about when we're young.
50s or...
Like our early days, like as you're forming as a young person.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah, he stated something that I had to reread it and see how I felt about it. But he feels like that when you form your life goals too early, they can become a core part of your identity.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I'm going to go back to your early days mm-hmm. when, you know, the reasons that you decided to get married and do all of those things were because of those early value systems, right? Like,
very much so, yeah.
Yeah, and it'd be interesting just to, I mean, this would fall into a lot of things. That's why it hit me so hard. But, you know, I was really fortunate in that I had a parent who told me I could be anything I wanted to be. And I literally felt that. And she encouraged me no matter what it was. I mean, I played soccer and I'm horrible at soccer. I'm horrible.
I bet you were exhausted. Because you're
short. My little short little legs.
I can see her running down the road or running down the field, you know.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. God. But, you know, I tried it, and that was kind of the cool thing for me, is that I was able to try the things that were available to me. And that's why I loved school so much, because they were easily accessible, to find what worked and what wasn't going to work. However, with that being said, I think a lot of the early childhood traumas and the influence I had also created an identity that I should follow, too. Mm-hmm. That maybe wasn't my path early on.
Well, and maybe now that you're older, you can reflect back on it.
And, true.
In a less traumatizing way.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
And I think I have a bit, you know, looked at certain things. Everything that you go through as a person makes you who you are. So you never mm-hmm. want to go back and change anything.
No, definitely not.
Definitely, I mean, we always say that, but, you know, you don't want to do that.
Just kind of thinking back that far, you were talking about my first marriage, and for whatever reason, it just keeps coming up. But, no, that was a one-night stand that never should have gone beyond the second night. So, I mean, it is what it is, and, you know, I gave everything I had for 11 years, and like you had said, you know, my early upbringing and belief system is what forged my belief in that relationship. You know, basically, she got pregnant before we were married. Being a good Christian boy, I wanted to make sure to do the right thing. If you could see the air quotes, you know, and hear the sarcasm somewhat in my voice, that doing the right thing was marrying a woman that wasn't worthy of me. It took me quite a while to figure that out. Once I did figure that out and figured out my role and my place in that marriage, I started looking at life a lot differently, experienced a lot more freedom within myself because I understood my role and my position in that marriage, you know, and as the only person working and, you know, for the most part, you know, the one taking care of the young children, that was pretty important to me to make sure that the kids were taken care of. So bust my ass, work a lot, make the money that we needed to survive. And, you know, that allowed her to go to school and have the career that she wanted, you know, along the way because of that relationship. You know, I've lost friends. I'm kind of estranged from some family that didn't take the time to listen. I don't know. Hopefully, eventually they figure it out. Yeah, I don't know.
If they don't, they don't. I mean, that's what we're trying to appreciate. And I think we can both appreciate it now. Mm-hmm. I mean, I have friends that are struggling in their marriages, too. And I feel very, very lucky that we are in a good place in our marriage. Mm-hmm. We haven't always been. We've had a lot of challenges, too. But the fact that we've been willing together to go through that and not just give up and not be petty and not be ugly. Marriage is not easy.
No, it's definitely hard work. You know, like there are definitely areas that we have gone through extreme challenges. You know, I think we're better for it now. You know, looking back a half a dozen years or so, we might not have thought so, but being in the thick of it, now that we've gone through that, I can't think of anybody else I'd want to be with.
I agree. Well, and I mean, weird things. We hear about, you know, friends that get into fights and they're like throwing things at each other, like physically throwing items at the person that they love.
Right. Or physically assaulting each other. You know, like that's never been okay in my mind. You know, like never. I can honestly say in my lifetime, I think I've actually laid hands. This is kind of a weird thing. I can think of one person, maybe two females that I've actually laid hands on. But that was after a considerable amount of me getting beaten and finally getting to a point where like enough was enough.
You did throw a slipper at me one time.
Yeah, that's not my hands though. That was a slipper. I think I was hangry. I think that's where that came from. I think I was hangry. I was frustrated. I was tired.
You were mad. And I actually think you
surprised. I don't even think I was mad at you.
You
were. It was just some stupid shit that was going on around.
And what
us.
Was funny is he threw the slipper at me and his mom was standing right next to me. And then he looked shocked, like, I can't believe I just did that. Yep. And we were all like, what the hell?
Oh, yeah. No, that was not a shining star moment.
The slipper hit the wall and it never even made contact with me. But
it wasn't even close.
Yeah, anyway, so that's we always joke about
well
that.
Well above her head.
Is that a short joke?
Yes, it was. Oh, man. No, seriously, though, like my core belief is, you know, men do not hit women. And men that do hit women are fucking pussies in my mind. Because if you have to beat up on a woman, then, you know, I would question your man card. And I have. I have questioned men's man card for doing that.
Yeah.
You know, when I was in high school, you know, a girl that I wasn't even dating, she came, I don't know, we went to a social event or something like that. We didn't go together, but we were at the same event. And I was like, asked her, you know, what was that all about? And she explained what had happened. And I knew her so-called boyfriend. And he and I had words after a while, you know, when he showed up. And he also left with a black eye. So I will not confirm nor deny how he obtained that black eye, but I will just say that, he left with a matching black eye. And as far as I know, to this day, he has not hit another woman. So,
which is good.
It just stuff like that drives me crazy. You know, like you see cultures where it's okay or they encourage it. And, you know, I watched a reel or a video the other day, and I'm not going to mention the culture, but everyone's pretty educated. You could probably figure it out where a man is hitting or beating up his daughter-in-law and for something. And the little kids, you know, ranging from like 3 years old to probably 10 in this video, are hitting the man who's hitting the daughter-in-law because they know it's, I'm like, inherently, we know that that's wrong. You know what I mean? Like, as a human being, you know that that's wrong. And, you know, like, my question on that whole video was, like, where's her husband? You know what I mean? Like, where's her husband at? What's going on there? I don't know. I just thought that was pretty bizarre.
Well, we digressed a little bit, but my point being that we're into this new year. We've got some goals.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and definitely.
That book really inspired me that you can change the way that you think, and you should. As you're growing, you should change the way that you think.
I think that's a piece of evolution, isn't it? Like, as you're growing physically, you're also growing mentally, and you know, like, even the schools should be challenging you to grow beyond your existence, right?
Yeah, but it seems like right now, and I don't know if this just goes back to that, like, political loyalty, but everybody's just, you know, I believe this way and I'm right. And that's all right. There is to it. And I'm not going to...
There's no discourse.
I'm going to unfriend you and not have a conversation with you if I disagree.
I'm going to go one further. I'm not going to talk to you anymore.
Yeah, and...
And I'm going to talk shit about you behind your back.
And I'm going to block you.
Oh, don't block me.
Yep.
No.
Block you. Yep.
You're going to block me. We've been friends forever.
So this is what people do, though. There's like no conversation. And mm-hmm. I think part of that is also because people are afraid to be vulnerable. For example, today I had a professional interaction with a group of people that I do feel a sense of closeness with. When you work in any kind of law enforcement field, that just happens. You naturally mm-hmm. end up with these people that you would trust with your life.
Mm-hmm. No, you get close bonds for sure.
You do. And so during this interaction, somebody said something to me that was unexpected and really touched my heart. And I just started crying.
Yeah.
I started crying and I shared my heart back. And I almost couldn't control it. It was just a natural response. But it was also a very vulnerable response.
Right.
You know, and I feel very fortunate that the three people in that room were very accepting and, you know, gave me the space to share what I needed to share. And I appreciated that.
Right. Well, and that interaction, I think, needed to take place probably months ago. But, I mean, fortunately, you had an opportunity to have that time, that interaction, you know, regardless of the outcome of the meeting. No, that was good. I think that was good. I think, you know, moving forward for them and for you, you know, hopefully maybe that'll help them look at things a little bit differently, a little bit closer.
Well, and for me, it also speaks to, you know, I was afraid to be vulnerable months ago and share how I felt. Because right. I didn't want to look weak or less than, you know?
Right. Yeah.
So, I mean, it just speaks to that we have to, I shouldn't say we have to, we really should feel encouraged to continue to grow and take the time to be vulnerable with people when it's appropriate, of course. And that's going to help us grow and be more prosperous and abundant and welcoming and independent.
Definitely. No, and that's very cool. In this day and age, too, like, so many people are... It kind of reminds me, you know, today, like, this time in our lives kind of reminds me of, like, back in the, I want to say, kind of 70s, where, you know, people that were working for companies for 20 or 30 years, you know, and just the amount of shit they had to absorb, you know, like, you get arrows flung at you every single day, and... you know, like, they talk about, you know, the guy going postal, right? That was the first example
we
of,
should
like,
not
a workplace.
Laugh at that, but that's almost kind of like the I'm falling and I can't get up. It's just become a motto of, you know, of a time, of a thing.
Right. Well,
a marker, if you will.
A marker in time. There
yep.
you go. Exactly. And it signifies, you know, like a snapping point or a breaking point where, you know, that individual had had so many arrows flung at them. They've absorbed so much shit that they finally, you know what? Fuck it. I'm done. But, I mean, it doesn't excuse bad behavior. It doesn't excuse workplace violence or anything like that. But where I was going with that whole thing was, you know, back in that time frame, you know, the, as an employee, you were limited on what you could do, where you could go. And, you know, I think
huge changes nowadays.
I think with the expansion of internet, computers, you know, even like truck driving and stuff like that. A lot of friends I have, you know, they've gone into truck driving. I even considered it myself if I wasn't married. But, you know, a lot of people, they'll go into truck driving just for the solitude. Mm-hmm. You know, get them out of the house for 2 weeks on end and they don't have to answer to anybody. They just go, they do their thing. They, you know, drive wherever they need to drive. They drop their trailer, they grab the next one and they move on to the next place. Because they don't have to deal with idiotic bosses that don't know what the hell they're talking about or what they're doing. And, I think that's the biggest issue is poor management.
It's not even just that. It's just dealing with people. And in the United States, we are supposed to be on all the time, working constantly. And the thing is, human beings need time to re-energize. They need time alone.
Definitely. And we, I believe, have come to a decent balance where, you know, we get our adequate amount of time on our own to do the things that we need to do. There are the things that we like to do when we're, you know, not around each other. Because when, I'll be honest, when I'm around you, I want to be near you. I want to be, you know, hanging out with you. Not smothering so, but just in a manner of, you know, I like hanging out with you. So I want to hang out with you and do stuff with you, whether it's going out to dinner or a movie.
Rooster even went to the gym with me today.
I did. Yep. Mm-hmm. It was good. Actually, I did some mobility exercises because, you know, I'm getting older. And one of the things that I've noticed is the muscles in my body, when they get tight, they stay tight. They don't loosen up as easily. So I have to stretch like twice as much just to get the my muscles to loosen up to a point where I'm not in pain.
That's true. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, you know, we also went, we didn't get to share this. Russ joined me for a sound bath. I think it was the Thursday before Christmas. We went with our friends. It was their first time at this particular sound bath. And I always get a little bit nervous because Russ is, you know, when we go to these things, there, you have a whole spectrum of people. So you have literally the people that are the yogis who don't shower and wear patchouli you know, the whole other extreme. Well, this particular night, it was a Winter's Dream sound bath.
And it was on the winter solstice.
Yes, it was. So that was even more fantastic. So
that made it really kind of cool. I got to say, that whole experience was actually really neat. Sorry, I didn't mean to
interrupt. Oh, I'm really glad because I'm always nervous with Russ. Like, I don't know how he's going to respond to this kind of stuff because he's pretty blunt. So,
well, I can be. I can be politically correct when I need to, but I'm usually that guy that you have to warn your friends, you know, like, hey, you want to stay away from, you know, talking about politics or, you know, things like that, religion. Because that could start an unintended conversation that goes down deep rabbit holes that, leave us all thinking.
Right? So it was really cool. We're in this big gymnasium. She had lights going, so it looked like it was snowing, but it also looked like there was water on the wall from these lights. And her guest was playing a Middle Eastern sitar. And he also had a...
Is that like called a scimitar or something like that?
It's called a sitar, I think.
A sitar.
And then he also had a bow guitar, and there are only 18 of these bow guitars.
That was pretty spectacular. Yeah. Actually, that was pretty amazing.
And that was very amazing. Russ purchased for me for Christmas those lounging lawn chairs.
Zero gravity
lawn chairs, which I'd wanted one of these for my sound baths, but they're like $90 a piece. Anyway,
we gotta go back though, because we went. So this was the second sound bath that I'd ever gone to. And the first one I had gone to was on the summer solstice, right?
Yep.
And that was kind of neat. We were outdoors. We were in a somebody's yard, and we were on the ground, which wasn't bad because we were close to the ground, and that has healing properties as well. But it wasn't nearly as comfortable as it was sitting in those zero gravity chairs.
For sure.
So. But yeah, like you were saying, normally those two chairs, would go for about $250 or so. And, I was able to get those on sale. I got a really good deal on those for your Christmas present.
So those zero gravity chairs were sitting there, and he had those pedals that play on loops. So it felt like we literally were on this journey and that you were floating.
That was pretty wild. Because, yeah, literally, like, it put you kind of in a trance state. And keep in mind, like, we didn't do any drugs. We didn't smoke any marijuana. Didn't eat any magic mushrooms.
And there's the disclaimer. We did not do that.
So this little, proviso out there. Like, we were not high on anything.
We just had dinner, and we did have a couple of drinks, and that was it.
A couple of beers.
Yep.
Yeah. So we went on this journey, yeah, and the journey, it was wild because one of our friends that was there with us, he and I went on a very similar journey. And actually, you did too. You went on kind of the same journey where it kind of took us out in the cosmos.
Mm-hmm.
We're floating around in the stars, and then kind of on the way back in towards the end, it sounded like if you've ever fallen asleep, like next to a body of water, like a lake or a stream, or even the ocean, there's something very unique about that experience. That as we were kind of coming back from our cosmic journey, I felt like I was laying alongside the shore at a lake. Is kind of what I was thinking, because it was like, it felt like there were waves, but it wasn't ocean waves. It was like a lake pulse, right? And just that kind of a trickling sound that was very soothing. Like, to me, I'm a water person. My calming place is underwater. I relax the most when I'm either underwater or believe that I'm underwater. And anyway, that experience with coming out and then, into that water scene. And then as I opened my eyes, there were these lights that they had kind of reflecting off the wall that looked like water.
Yeah, it was a reflection of water.
It was like you were underwater or something like that. So it was very, very cool. And our dear friend that puts those on, she did a fantastic job. And
she's really gifted. And I
very much so
feel fortunate when I go, because each one is just so amazing. And my experience was very similar. I felt like when I was coming back in, I was coming in on a big Viking boat.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of my water experience coming back in from the cosmos. It was pretty cool. I didn't fall asleep this time though, because I was like you said, like in that trance state, like I was
right. Like deep meditation,
conscious. Yeah, it was that was a new one for me, because usually I fall asleep and I'm the person that's annoying everybody else by snoring.
Well, and yeah, one of our friends. Well, I think I want to say woke herself up and also kind of jump started us coming back from our journey with her snoring. But God bless her. She's wonderful.
Oh, we had a great time. That was a really wonderful, really nice, relaxing night. And of course, after the sound bath, I usually sleep really good for the next couple of days. So
I was very It was a very soothing experience.
So to bring this back around where it was going with the sound bath. All the way around. kind of feeding off of what you were saying about how times and culture has changed in terms of communication and being vulnerable and changing your thought patterns.
Right.
The sound bath, I had that experience where the amazing musician that was playing the bow guitar, he also had some CDs that he had made for sale. And when I asked him how much they were, he said, you know, by donation. So at the time, I think all I had was like $10 cash on me. And he said, oh, are you sure you can afford this? Do you want another one? And on the way back to the car, I told Russ, I'm like, I'm not really sure how to interpret what he said. Was he saying like, oh my gosh, you're only giving me $10. Are you sure you can afford this? And Russ's take was like, no, like, wow, thank you. You know, are you sure?
Gratitude.
Yeah. And that he was willing to give me another one. And anyway, everybody there was just really cool. And we had to wait outside for a little while because they were tuning. And that particular instrument is very sensitive and we couldn't walk on the hardwood gymnasium floor.
Yeah, because it would creak.
Yeah, so we were all outside becoming friends with all these people we've never met before. And
well, and then, of course, that particular evening, it was trying to snow.
It was trying to.
It was cold, and it was wet, and it was trying to snow.
Yeah. Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
So I do have faith in community. That experience taught me that there's community, that we can be kind to one another. We've never met each other. We're all in a space for the same purpose.
We're there for the same reasons, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone might have their own reasons for being there, but we're all there to experience the same, to have the same experience, basically.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
So I feel really fortunate that Russ is willing to go with me to those things. I know it's not for everyone. There was a time I probably would have never done it either. However, it's been a very healing experience, and it's also good for my personal well-being and my kind of my journey with myself, trying to turn inward and, you know, make sure that I'm not exactly the same person that I was a year ago. I'm still Mandy, and I'm still going to have the same voice and laugh, but I might be more understanding, or I might be more gentle or more assertive or whatever Mandy needs. I'm trying to feed Mandy to be a better Mandy.
Well, and we have to. We have to do that for ourselves. We have to. Well, we have to stand up for ourselves, whatever that looks like. Voicing your opinion, airing a grievance that maybe you're the only one that has the courage to do it. You're the one that that has the ability or the courage to stand up and say, you know, this is what we need to do, or this is what I feel, or that sort of thing. But no, you've come a long way. I'm really happy with your journey and proud that you're sticking to the hard stuff. Trust me when I tell you that, you know, like dieting has never been a thing, never been a good thing. For me anyway, like I always have just eaten whatever I want. You know, I believe that we're eating better, or at least trying to eat better.
Well, and that's been one of my takeaways. We're not necessarily dieting. We are changing our eating approach. And that was really one of my takeaways with my coaching program for the year, is that food is not inherently good or bad. Food does not have morality.
No, food's fuel.
That's what it should be. And as Americans, especially, the more that I'm comparing, you know, different things when it comes to food and learning more, as Americans, we do eat what we want. And we're exposed now to so much processed food that it's just we're putting constant chemicals in our body. You know, like today I had a headache and I don't want to keep taking ibuprofen or Excedrin migraine. I don't want to keep putting that stuff through my body.
Right. Yeah. Well, and that stuff's not, it's not good for you, but you know, like you don't intake a lot of pharmaceuticals anyway.
I really try not to.
Right. Well, and neither do I. Yeah. You know, like we've gone, you and I both have gone round and round and round with each other, with our doctors, with the pharmacists, with, you know, other people, just trying to get the medications that we have to take dialed in.
But I truly believe that everything we need to treat our bodies is already here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just how it's used. And
no, absolutely.
You know, I've become more aware that, you know, money drives this country. It drives a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
And when you stop and look at the flow of money versus when are people are becoming more healthy? Or are they becoming more sick?
Right.
You know, what
are the drugs really treating?
True.
You know, like we were talking about topics we could talk about. We could spend some time talking about pharmaceuticals and that sort of thing. We're just about out of time for today. But kind of the big takeaway, I guess, from today's episode is, you know, hey, welcome to 2024. Enjoy you. You know, I guess that would, if I were to give advice to anybody, enjoy your time that we have here. You know, like all the serious things that are going on around the world, you know, the wars and the disease and all of the other things that are going on in the world. You know, just take a moment to be present with yourself, with your spouse, with, you know, whoever your significant other is. You know, maybe it's your kids, maybe it's your dog, maybe it's your cat. But just be present. You know, and that honestly, like for me, that's probably my number one goal for this year is to be more present than I have been. You know, still working, still doing what I need to do to take care of our household, just being more present.
Well, and what that looks like, and I'm sorry to say, it just looks like stepping away from technology.
Mm-hmm.
And feeding those relationships. And mm-hmm. like you said, particularly with yourself.
Yep.
You need to work on your relationship with yourself mm-hmm. all throughout time. We are normally hardest on ourselves.
Yep.
We have negative self-talk. All of those things play a part in how you feel every single day.
Yeah. And not only, you know, taking care of yourself, like physically and mentally, but, you know, go get that massage, go get that pedicure, the self-care aspect of it that we were talking about earlier today, you know, just doing those nice things for yourself. You know, it might only take an hour out of your week or out of your month. You know, it's something that will last with you. You know, we joke sometimes back and forth that, you know, I personally truly enjoy getting pedicures. And I haven't been able to get one for a while because I have a slow healing injury on my foot that has prevented me from going to get a pedicure. But man, once that thing's healed, bet your ass I'm going to go get myself a pedicure, man, because I love those things.
Russ even treated himself to a new therapy today at the gym.
Oh, tanning. Yeah, well, I wanted to try, I don't know, pay for a gym membership. It, you know, has tanning that comes with it. And, you know, why not? Why not exploit the what you're paying for? So
I publicly humiliated him while he was signing up.
Well, she tried. She tried.
I said, yeah. What? I just had skin cancer surgery and you're going to go tanning and everybody at the desk just froze.
They were mortified. They didn't know what to do. They were like, oh my God, what is this crazy lady doing? They weren't sure what you were going to do.
Oh, it was funny. It was, mm-hmm. I mean, I thought it was funny. Maybe it wasn't to them, but I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah. No, that was some good stuff.
You know, kind of like Adam Grant says, and I highly encourage you to read his book, but don't be afraid to think again.
Right. Definitely. Definitely. Well, you know, as we close out this episode, you know, we really want to thank you guys for being with us. All five of you. Maybe there's six now, but.
Please share us.
Yeah. No, definitely. Definitely. And if, you know, if there's stuff you want to hear us talk about, give us a shout. Let us know. We told you how to get in touch with us, but we're here for you, and hope you guys have a good year. So
absolutely, and don't forget to start researching for voting.
Oh yeah, big year for voting. So we'll talk about that in another episode coming up. So until then,
cheers.